We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Miami.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today is producer, co-founder Brian Goins. He's to my left.
Hey.
Brian's not happy. To my bottom, you have Alex Solana.
What up?
Alex, we need like a name.
This is Greg Olson.
We got to come up with that. Okay, Greg Olson, I just came up with it. Also, to the bottom left, we are as discombobulated as the Heat offense. On the bottom left, we have our statistician and professor photographer, Christian Hernandez.
You came in with such energy, Gianni, and then they just brought you the fuck down. Like, don't be afraid to have energy. Like, this was brutal. This was brutal.
Yikes is a way to start that. So, I am here to talk you off the ledge. Like, I think the game plan was solid. Right, guys? Like, I think that they obviously get clobbered. Markieff Morris is hitting threes. KCP hits two threes in a row. Alex Caruso hits a three. Right? It looks as bad as it can. But I'm just like, you know what? I like it. They're sending the help early. They're doubling LeBron. They're doubling Davis. They're rotating out the shooters. If Bam is on LeBron single coverage, I thought he did a really, really good job with that. Like, I thought the game plan was absolutely solid. I thought it was fine. I thought it was adequate. I don't think that there was an issue. The Lakers just hit a ton of threes. And then Goran Dragic doesn't come back after, like, I don't know, he had like, what, a couple minutes in the in the second quarter, right? Our own Saucy Nuggets insider, Lefty Leif, also works for Five Reasons Sports, reported that, you know, it's looking rough for Goji. And then you have the Bam injury that concerns me too. So Leif tweeted that, you know, he has on good information that he doesn't think that Goran's going to come back in the series. X-rays are negative on Bam Adebayo, again reported by Greg Sylvander, Leif of Miami Heat Beat and Five Reasons Sports. I guess Leaf's not really five reasons. Heat beat. I don't know. I'm discombobulated. They have to wait for the MRI. Chris is laughing at me. Listen, I'm shook. How could you not be shook?
I mean, I don't blame you, man. Like, up is
I'm
down.
I'm shook.
Like,
I don't even know where Leif works anymore.
I mean, that was, though, honestly, that was worst case scenario. Not just from the fact that they got stomped, but, I mean, you haven't even said either yet that Jimmy rolled his ankle really bad. And, like, I know that Jimmy has magical feet, but he's got to be swollen, like, especially now that the adrenaline's going down. Like, I hope that he's not seriously hobbled, but, I mean, losing two of your three most important players, like, in the first game of the finals, it does not get any worse than that, regardless of how many threes the Lakers were making.
One of them right after the first quarter.
Like, it's... Yeah.
Kristen, I'm okay with their game plan. Like, let's kind of talk a little bit about the injuries, then let's get into the game planning. And then there's somebody on Lakers Twitter that I'm going to fucking eviscerate. I'm sick and tired of somebody on Lakers Twitter. I'm fucking done with them. I'm done with Lakers Twitter. I'm done with the specific stupid fucking podcaster. I'm just fucking done with it. I'm done with all of them. By Madonna? The way, this is what Heat and Five. This is what Heat and Five looks like, people. We've said this all pod. Okay, you always have to lose one. That's what Heat and Five looks like. If you remember the Chicago Bulls series in 2011, guess what happened? They fucking lost the first game. Everyone's like, it's all over for Miami. Fuck up. Get out of here. Have some fucking guts, okay? If Goran's not here, if Goran's out for the series, obviously that's a huge blow. I don't think it's impossible for them to win, but their margin for error becomes almost non-existent. Kendrick Nunn gave them good minutes today. Goran gives them the only reliable pick and roll, high screen and roll player who can also shoot off the dribble. They lose that if Goran's not going to play. It's hard for us to even talk about Goran's impact because we got to wait for MRIs. Once we get the MRI on Goran, whatever information comes out tomorrow, that's going to be different. Right. So we're going to have a clear idea of what's going on. Bam. The x-rays came back negative. That's good. I'm sure we're going to get more tomorrow. I don't think Bam's not going to be good to go the rest of the series. Putting him back in today would have been dumb. I mean, they were down like 20 points the whole game. Like, why would you want to risk more injury to him? I even thought the Jimmy thing didn't make a lot of sense, but I understand that the ankles, you know, whatever, it is what it is. That doesn't look severe either.
And you can't really hurt an ankle any more than it's already hurt, I don't think.
I don't know. Ask Grant Hill.
Yeah, I guess you could ask Giannis too. My bad. I'll take that back.
I have so much to be mad about, not even of the game. Like, Alex, I think the Heat had a solid game plan and they were winning, and then it kind of went off the rails in that second quarter when Goran went out. Tyler was not very good, but I thought the game plan was solid.
Yeah, I mean, when you're hitting all your shots, I saw a stat, I think out of their first 25 possessions or their first 14 possessions, they had 25 points to start the game. And then their next, I don't know, I probably should have looked it up before I cited it, but their next like 25 possessions, they had 23 points in total. Their game plan, even defensively at first, clearly worked. Like, everything was going for the Heat. Nothing was going for the Lakers. And then, I mean, Christian mentioned it. They didn't miss from three, but that doesn't matter when injuries are plaguing you the way that they plagued us tonight. And I can't even recall thinking, oh wow, our game plan has worked, because by the time you even were able to understand what was happening, you're down 35 and it's third quarter. So it's hard. I know we want to look past the injuries, and I know we want to, you know, be able to break down basketball, but it's hard to do that when it's standing in your way, right? Like, you lost your three best players potentially, and you're down 30 for most of the game.
No, and look at this. It's always also about your best mix of players, and the starting lineup tonight only played those first 6 minutes. They beat the Lakers 23-10. Yep. They were clicking offensively. Yep. And right after that, I think
Bam got two fucking ghost foul calls, and that shit basically ruined it for them.
And
they started going in the minus. That's why Tyler Hero has a minus 30. Let's put that first right out of the way. Because
Tyler wasn't good though.
I mean,
Tyler wasn't good.
Everyone keeps blaming like it was Tyler Hero, like was the only player that basically ruined it for them. That minus 30 stat line, sure, it sucked, but it really wasn't all his fault.
No, of course. I mean, look, it's never going to be all one player's fault, but he had a rough first half, stepping out of bounds. He botched a couple of handoffs. You know, he had another bad turnover. Like it was not pretty, apart from just like, you can't blame guys when the shots don't go in. That always happens. Like, but bad decision-making, there was a lot of really sloppy passes.
But that was on offense. On defense, he was fine.
Crab
makes a point in the chat. Tyler did lock up LeBron and ISO. I mean, we forget. Listen, let's rewind.
And he made it in his face. So, I mean,
let's rewind the game. Let's go back.
That was the highlight, right?
Let's go back to the point where LeBron got Tyler Hero on a switch. And LeBron is like, all right, I got this. And he goes to the rim. He does that stupid, dumbass little spin move and doesn't score. And at that point, I was like, this is a sweep. This is over. I've never felt more alive in my fucking life. And that included the Ray Allen three against the Spurs. In that moment, when just isolated in that moment, I felt so vindicated by alligator arms locking up the king. Nothing has ever felt better than that. And it was all downhill from there. And that might be, I don't think that's going to be the peak of our season. But if it is, it's fine. Because boy, I've never felt more alive. That was great. I really want to stress to you guys, like, we don't know enough about the injuries going forward. Like, we can't sit here and speculate what's going to happen with Goran. What's going to happen?
Lace him in our DMs. We kind of know.
But again, we don't know because there's no MRI. There's no nothing.
Exactly.
We can speculate, but we don't know for sure.
It looks, and we can basically say right now, it looks more likely that Bam will play the series and Dragic might not.
Yeah, I mean, Leif tweeted that. Again, follow him at Greg Sylvander on Twitter. The information that Leif gives out, as everybody knows who's listened to this show for any amount of time, is incredible. And everybody at Five Reasons Sports is as credible as anybody in the market. So make sure that you listen to Five on the Floor tonight as well. They're going to have really good information on that too.
Is Bam even worth playing though? And obviously, we don't know the extent of the injury, but if this is going to happen again, where he's one more shoulder bump away, body check away from that left arm just going numb again, like, is it even worth it? I know, I mean, I get how crazy that sounds. I know, I get how crazy that sounds, but like,
you know how the Heat operate.
Yeah, but you know, look tonight. Like, there was one play where he just, you know, runs into Dwight Howard and then he can't move his arm anymore. Like, I think you have to, you know, put proper context into this. Like,
you're in the finals,
but Bam is 24. Like,
Alex, you've been here. Listen, Alex is as diehard and as longstanding a Heat fan as I know. Alex, you were there against the Pacers in 2013. You know what that was like when Dwayne Wade's knee didn't look like it worked anymore. You were there when he was screaming at Spo on the sideline. You were there. We know how bad it got, how hopeless it has looked. This is nothing. Oh, I was fucking forged in the darkness. You think that this scares me? You think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's horse teeth scare me? Of course not. Do you think I'm scared by Kyle Kuzma and his fucking done eyebrows? I'm not scared of Kyle Kuzma. I'm not scared of his fade. I'm not scared of Dwight Howard. I'm not scared of any of this. I'm only worried for Goran. This is game one. I'm just not, I don't know. I don't believe in this Laker team. I don't believe in Marquise Morris hitting threes. I don't believe in Alex Caruso's stupid fucking bald spot. I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm like, and I don't like being this way because everybody knows that I've been fear-mongered throughout the entire playoffs against the Bucks and against the Celtics. I don't know what it is about this Laker team. Like, chat's right, Alex. They're asking you, where are your guts?
And I feel like I have them. Like, I'm with you, by the way.
I don't know.
I feel I have them. I'm with you. I'm not afraid. It's game
one.
Are
you wearing a gut shirt right now?
I'm not wearing my gut shirt.
I don't think you have them, then.
I feel good. I feel good. Like, if Bam comes back and he's healthy and he's ready to go, then I'm all for it. I just don't want a Bam Adebayo out there who's going to jeopardize his future when he's clearly just not ready to go. Like, that's all. I was just posing the question. If he's healthy and he gets cleared, obviously I want Bam out there. It's the fucking finals. Like it's, let's go. I'm with you, by the way. I don't buy into this Lakers team either. I don't think they're going to shoot from three the way that they shot tonight. I don't think they're going to shoot
They fell back to earth in the second half. They couldn't hit anything. The plan worked. I mean, you know, whatever. AD is going to get his and LeBron's going to get his. That's fine. But also, like, when all those guys went out and that game was out of hand and not having Bam in. So, like, LeBron, right. So the Heat were very comfortable switching Bam. So I thought the interesting thing to start the game was Dwight Howard on Bam and Jay Crowder on and Anthony Davis on Jay Crowder, which to me meant they want Anthony Davis helping off Jay Crowder every time, and they don't want Anthony Davis in any pick and roll or in any handoff action that Miami runs.
And Crowder picked him off for like three threes.
I thought Crowder did a great job of hitting his open looks. I thought Jay did a great job of fronting Anthony Davis on the other end.
Solomon,
I think whenever LeBron would have Dwight Howard screen for him and Bam would switch onto him, I thought Bam did an unbelievable job of staying in front of him, making life hard for him. That's a switch Miami's going to take every time, and LeBron kept hunting it. I thought when LeBron was hunting smaller guys, the Heat did a great job. I mean, we were joking about the Tyler Hero thing, but Andre, they would come with help. They would come forcefully. They did a really, really good job helping on all those drives, particularly in the first half when they had all their bodies. And I think they're going to live with Alex Caruso hitting corner threes. They're going to live with Danny Green doing that. They're going to live with that kind of result. I thought Miami didn't go zone very often, which makes sense because the back line is going to be vulnerable to rebounding.
Damn, whoever of you are screenshotting the look of despair on my face. I hate you guys. God damn it.
Christian, I want you to get guts. I want you to look at what the Lakers did. And I want you to know that none of that scares me.
Because I need those numbers.
I asked you for the Heat had the bodies on the floor, they were all playing the Lakers.
Soothe me with your numbers, Chris. Cherry pick whatever stats will make me feel better.
I love that somebody replied with a picture of my face to the stat that I was most likely looking at that was causing me to make this face. The Heat were plus 17 in the 8 minutes that Goran, Jimmy, and Bam were on the court together tonight.
Because they're fucking good. And we've talked about this on the show. Like, their defense, like, Jimmy Butler and Bam were getting to the rim. They were able to do stuff because they have a lot of motion on the shooters. And when they run that handoff stuff, so what they were doing was Duncan would come off for the handoff, and then they sent an extra man at Duncan. Bam slips, boom, short roll, corner shooter. And that was the offense. Or Jimmy cuts baseline. Like, they were getting the looks they wanted. The Lakers did not have an answer for that. They had to send two at Duncan because they're scared of him. Duncan was, they're not, listen, the fucking Lakers are not the Raptors. This defense is not as good as Toronto's. There's no OG Anunoby on that team. The defenders are not as smart. They're not as disciplined. They're not as purposeful. Like, what the Raptors did against the Heat's handoff stuff was as good and as, like, impossible for any team in the league. Wes Matthews and Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe are not on that team. There's nobody going over a screen that fucking scares me. This is just not. Yep. I'm not worried about KCP and all these people. Like, I'm just not. I'm sorry. The only people that worry me team are LeBron and AD. And if AD is going to be helping off Jay Crowder, and if Miami's going to be able to get Jay open looks, that's just going to grease the offense too much. And they got whatever they wanted in the handoffs in the first half before Goran got hurt. And Goran, especially in that handoff, I thought Tyler wasn't very good. I think that gets cleaned up. It was a little too much high pick and roll for Tyler. I don't know. Am I being crazy? Do I have too many guts right now?
No. I think you're right. I think honestly, what you saw from the Heat offensively gave you reason to believe that they had a great shot to win this series, that first quarter especially. Now, obviously, once Bam got those two ghost fouls, those shouldn't have been called. I thought maybe Spo could have challenged the first one, because I think any foul that you get on Bam hurts you in this series because you want him on the floor at all times. Regardless, taking him out of the game, you saw that Miami basically gave up that big run and it was pretty much all gone from there. And then once scoring was heard, then that's when it blew open. I think
Shams Shenaria reporting what Greg already reported. That
who's Greg?
Greg Sylvander.
You mean Leif?
No, we have to call him by his government name now. No, but Shams Shenaria is reporting that Heat guard Goran Dragic has suffered a torn plantar fascia. Is that even how you say it?
Yes.
Sources tell the Athletic Stadium he will continue to be reevaluated, but there is zero chance that he will play again in this series.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that in the DMs.
What does Heat beat MD say, Brian?
It's not good, guys.
Is it 6 to 8 weeks?
It's going to be longer.
Not longer than 6 to 8 weeks.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm not a doctor, but I mean, if you just look up a torn plantar fasciitis, it's not something you can come back in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it says 6 to 8 weeks.
You basically have to wear a boot for like 2 to 3 weeks at first. Yeah.
Typically you takes know, 12 weeks or worst, more.
The worst part about this is Goran Dragic is a guy that has played his whole career for this moment, who's a guy who's been a veteran in this league, who was a game away, a game and a box out away from the finals with Phoenix. You know, if Jason Richardson boxes out Ron Artest, you know, they're a game away going home to Phoenix. And a Kobe Bryant impossible game that he played. He's a guy that's playing the best, arguably the best basketball of his career in this playoff run. He's a guy that has been at times their second and at times their first best player in this playoff run. And losing him is an absolute gut punch to them. It's losing them is, in ways it's probably insurmountable. I do think Miami can do some patchwork. Kendrick Nunn,
you need Nunn to step up for sure. He's been gone this entire fucking playoff stretch run. He had a decent game today. He needs to keep that going and probably more. He
Their needs margin to show like he was. Become.
He needs to play like a first team all rookie and then some.
So their margin for error has disappeared tonight. That Goran being out for the series absolutely destroys their margin of error, right? Yep. Jimmy and Bam are going to have to play 40 minutes a game. The Heat, by the way, cannot survive these Andre at center lineups. I'm Kristen, I don't know how you feel about that.
They need to play Kelly Moore.
I'm 100% out.
I'm going to look it up tomorrow for sure when it's available. I probably could do it now, but I don't feel like working that hard. Going small against this Lakers team, I feel like was always a big risk. But if the Lakers are going to switch everything and you can't take advantage of any kind of switch, you can't also be so much smaller than them that they are just going to beat you up on the boards. And like, the amount of times that Anthony Davis just got free and just attacked the baseline and caught a pass. And when he's got momentum coming to the basket like that, you cannot stop him. Like, there's definitely a lot of things that he can do differently. I thought they were a little bit aggressive at times defensively that led to a lot of open shots. Again, you would think the strategy would be to encourage those shots because you don't expect them to hit so many. This is just a really hard game to judge because when a game gets out of hand like that too, a lot of that garbage time when the Lakers were letting the Heat come back, Kelly Olynyk looking good, Kendrick Nunn looking good, it's hard to make a lot out of that. Like, it's good to see those guys play well, but I don't know. I do agree, though. I think Kelly needs time that's not in a blowout. He showed that he can contribute out there. He even had a possession where LeBron tried to take him one-on-one. He forced him to give up the ball. Like, if you can have a body out there that can guard Bron even somewhat decently, like, that has value.
I don't really think you can depend on him to guard LeBron, but I do.
But not get abused on a switch. Like, the thing is,
I thought they were fine on switches. Like, again, even when LeBron got a smaller guy on him, I thought they did a decent job. Again,
didn't
like
they hold LeBron's like six first half.
That point? Whole second half, I just don't. I would throw that out the window. I don't see how any of that film.
There's an update on Dragic. Be good, actually. I don't know. According to Woj, he says Dragic has been able to put pressure on his left foot and hasn't ruled out returning to play in the NBA Finals. Sources tell you.
Let's go, Goki! Let's go!
Guts.
Come on, Goki!
Guts are back.
I would want to know if it's possible that he could develop a worse injury, because if that's a possibility, it's not worth it. Like, this is honestly not a terrible injury. I was really afraid of like an Achilles or something like that.
Yeah, that was my concern too. And I thought that was what was actually the injury at first.
Well, with the
obviously
video,
we didn't
right?
see the play until later on in the third quarter, because I had no clue he got hurt until obviously once the second half started.
I was kind of concerned. Like, go Alex.
No, I was just gonna say with the video, like it doesn't look like they like. I think Mark Jackson or Van Gundy said he steps on Rondo, but you see the video; he doesn't step on anybody. So that's why, like, you're immediately you jump to Achilles, right? Like there was basically no contact. So that's what I thought it was too.
Yeah. If he comes back, that's good news. But I don't obviously you don't know what kind of impact he'll have with this injury. I mean, we saw what TJ Warren. I don't even know if this is the same kind of plantar fasciitis injury that TJ Warren and. And who's the other guy from Indy that had it too? What's his face? The all-star center that they have. Nobody?
That team we're talking about?
I was looking.
Oh, Miles Turner.
Bonus. There you go.
Thank you, John.
Miles Turner's better than he is, but whatever.
So I don't know if that's something he can play through. I mean, if he can, that's great. But obviously, you're not going to get 100% Goran on the floor, and I know that probably be bad on for defense reasons. You already saw what they did trying to switch Tyler Hero and Duncan. Imagine what they try to do with Goran out there.
So chat's making 2 points right now. One I agree with, the other I don't. The first point is that they should start Myers Leonard, and I just think that's a non-option at this point.
That's not happening.
Especially today, if Myers did not play today, that's never happening. I think it's promising that the Heat forced the Lakers to go small pretty early, which means that the rebounding is not going to be as long-term, as bad as it could have been. I thought it was as promising a thing as any is within the first 5 minutes we knew, oh, this team can't play big against the Heat. There's just too much motion.
Anthony Davis basically in foul trouble in the first quarter.
That's a lot of Bam, too. And, you know, Bam kind of getting slowed down, kind of, and the second foul.
They played
Bam really
a great
that.
First quarter. I don't think you're giving enough credit for that, guys.
Did someone say playoffs, NBA and NHL are playing for gold and our partners Bet Online have you covered? Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts. You've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Until Bam went out the game, it really like turned on its head. And like, I'm not here to celebrate like a first quarter victory.
No, me too.
I just want to say that the game plan was really good. Okay, so chat saying Joe Johnson suffered a torn plantar fascia in his foot during game 2 of the 2013 first round against Chicago. Joe would go on to receive an injection in his foot before each game. He would struggle and shoot 25% from 3. Sounds like how we played against it with the Raptors.
I mean, like, that's what I'm saying, though. If he's not going to be even near 100%, like...
Did you see those Tyler Hero pick and rolls? So chat made another point other than the Myers Leonard point, and it's fuck at Tim_NBA. Now,
is that the guy? I
want to touch on this.
Him.
This is some little douchebag
Cranges
who runs the Laker podcast.
Cranges McBasketball?
Yeah. Who's pulling like who's talking shit to Christian for pulling small sample sizes when he's pulling sample sizes on like 3 possessions on going under on Dragic and Duncan screens.
Who's talking shit?
The guy you're talking shit about earlier.
Yeah,
today
that guy at
Lakers
Tim
Twitter.
NBA. That little Lakers.
Yeah, I saw his whole fucking thread like the other day. Oh, you should see the film that the Heat have. Blah 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 blah. The Lakers are gonna pick them apart with the drop scheme coverage and shit. Like, fuck you.
So he's like peak douche NBA Twitter that people hate. He created his own stat and then charges people for it on his site. He's like a wannabe Zach Lowe, but he's also dumber than Scouts with Brian. He also said at one point that Marcus Morris was a better player than Jason Tatum. He is the worst of us. He is what everyone thinks NBA Twitter is, but like in a person and like not the good stuff without the funny.
Is his podcast called Lakers Exceptionalism?
Yes. It's that. I mean, what a creepy fucking name. Like, dude, get out of here.
I'm getting like Proud Boys vibes from that.
Oh my God, yes. I mean, look at his Abby.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the last thing that we really want, right? Is Lakers Twitter just getting 100% just unleashed, right?
So this little Proud Boy today tweets out, forget the 12 guys picked ahead of him in the draft. If Hiroki's playing like this, there might be 12 guys picked in front of him this series. I mean, dude, shut the fuck up, okay? Like, dude, get the fuck out of here. The Teets second and first best player, the Heat's third and first best player got hurt today. Like, you're fucking, what a little front-running asshole. You know what I mean?
I do take issue though, Brian, with you saying that the Heat played a great first quarter. Like, they blew a 13-point lead. I've been holding that take.
Bam got that ghost second foul.
Bam gets the ghost second foul with like 2 minutes and change. Like the Lakers were already within four at that point. Like I get what you're saying. Like the first 6.5 minutes, the Heat came out, executed, hit their shots. Played defensively, played well, made the Lakers switch, made the Lakers go small. Like, I'm with you. Like, I have the guts. I'm trying to explain myself in a way where you don't think I'm losing
the
guts. The
only reason the Lakers came back was because Kentavious Caldwell-Pope made every single fucking three.
Yeah, he hits those two threes. I get you, but like, they still blow a 13-point lead. They go down three in the quarter. I mean, I'm not willing to say
keep these leads every single quarter, but you want them to actually, you know, push the Lakers, and they did that first quarter. That was the reason why they kind of were pressuring them back in that rest of the game. And I don't know, man. I think there's a lot you can't really take away from this game with the injuries set aside. But I don't know, G, what else do you have in terms of adjustments? Because the rest of the chat's asking, like, what would you do for game two? What's adjustments that we would have?
I would do less. I would do a lot less Andre at center. That's the one thing. I thought Miami had a lot of success running Bam and Duncan DHO. I thought a lot of their best looks came out of that. I think the Tyler Hero high pick and roll stuff was just a disaster. It was just too much. He would oftentimes kind of dribble into nothing and then kind of bring the ball back out. It wasn't really the turnovers, but he would eat like 14, 16 seconds of clock, right? And he has to be more... He has to have more purpose when he does that. And I think that we've seen him all playoff long kind of do that. I think he missed a couple layups early, which are things he normally finishes. And I really think that deterred him from kind of going to the paint more. He was kind of looking for the jump shot because he made those three corner threes, one of which he stepped out of bounds, so it didn't count. But I kind of think that got him in a mindset that wasn't necessarily good. If Goran is not playing, I just think that they insert Kendrick Nunn into the starting lineup and kind of ride it like that, kind of keep what they've been doing, but then have Tyler still come off the bench.
Well, speaking of updates on Goran, Chris Haynes just tweeted, Goran Dragic exited the arena without utilizing a boot, and he wasn't favoring his foot much at all.
Fucking badass.
He is a badass, though. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means anything, but... He is a badass.
We have careened all over the place on how to feel about Goran's injury. Like, we're going to have to do a pod tomorrow when we have more information. But we have careened all over the place. It has been an emotional day. Fuck Tim _NBA. Fuck you, branding NBA. Only people allowed to put NBA in their titles is Nikias. That's it. It's the only person that's allowed. And Five Reasons Clutch NBA.
He's actually a full-time NBA reporter now. So, yeah, so he's allowed.
Who, the little Proud Boy?
No, our Nikias. Proud Boy.
Nikias.
No, don't call Nikias a Proud Boy. That's a bad thing.
Okay, what do you want to call him then? Punmaster?
Brian, do you not know what Proud Boys are?
I thought that was a good thing.
Turn on the news. No, it's a bad thing.
Well, I was going to say, Brian, you're on Twitter. You don't know what the Proud Boys are?
We're probably going to get in trouble for calling this person a Proud Boy.
Am I canceled?
Did
I just get myself canceled?
Yeah, you just called. Yes. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Is that the last thing the stream I have to do?
That is more offensive than anything the Heat did on offense today.
I'm actually kind of happy if that's the last of the stream I got to do.
So we're in agreement. Goran is going to drop 35 in game two.
Goji, he's gonna do whatever. He's gonna inject whatever he needs into his foot. I'm not here to condone whether or not Goran should do stuff like that. I mean, we just know how the Heat operate. We know how Dwayne Wade was. Alex, I mean, God knows what Dwayne did to his knee that night with Tom.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We don't know.
Did any of you see or hear what Rachel Nichols said about Bam, that he didn't take any cortisone or because he's afraid of needles?
Yeah, I heard that.
Grow up, Bam.
Yeah, Bam. It is time to embrace drugs, Bam, because drugs can help.
We need D Wade to call him very quickly. Like, just leave him one of those text messages that they like to exchange.
This is dangerous. I'm with Bam. I don't like painkillers unless I'm passing a kidney stone. Stop then it. I want painkillers.
You just told me it's the NBA Finals. You just told me that it's the NBA Finals.
I'm careening all over the place. I don't know what I want, Alex. I want the players to be safe, but I also want the guts. I don't want Tim_NBA to be happy. There's a lot of things. They're all conflicting.
Lakers exceptionalism. Literally the douchey. Podcast name I've ever heard in my entire life.
Bro, he made up his own stupid fucking stat and charged people. It's so bad. Anybody who says in our evaluations Kendrick Nunn is blank, you're just a douche. You can't say that and not be a douche.
Speaking of drugs can hurt or can help, did you see Larry Sanders asking that he
he
can help guard Anthony Davis in the summer? He wants to get a contract in the summer, like the summer's not over right over.
Yeah, summer's over. So it's officially autumn. Pumpkin spice is available at Starbucks.
When's the last time Larry Sanders played? Like, what was that Milwaukee stint? How long ago was that? Like 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
No Bucks allowed, unless they're young.
A while ago, but I gotta say, I was such a huge Larry Sanders fan. Like, just because, like, I just love crazy defenders, and that dude was one of the craziest defenders. How do we start talking about this guy again?
Brian brought the show to a halt by bringing up.
Yeah, nice job.
I thought it was a funny joke. Whatever. The chat's calling Bam Goku.
Good. Bram is Goku.
No, Bam.
But with more characters.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm gonna come on and say it. Goku, one of the worst anime protagonists ever.
Oh God, you literally love having the worst opinions.
He's
Jesus
not good.
Christ.
Like, he's not a good character.
Possibly the most charming lead character in any long running
series. I'm sorry, I don't like it. There's nothing there. He's just strong and stupid. He's a himbo.
He eats a lot of rice. You know, he's a goofy father. He's scared of his wife.
He's a bad father. He's an awful father.
He's just like a giant collection of tropes. How is it not great?
He's an awful father. He's an awful father to Goten. He's an awful father to Gohan.
What do you mean? He literally helped his son save the planet through some
then
kind of
then died and disappeared and left him. He's like, Chi-Chi, deal with the kids. Peace out.
And then
at the end, Goten's still a child, and he's like, I'm going to leave to train.
Okay, but now don't start talking about Goten. We're talking about Gohan.
Goten's his son, too. Goten counts. Piccolo's, since the chat's right, Piccolo's the real father.
He died for Gohan twice. That's true.
Chat's upset that we're talking anime. You guys brought it up, chat. It wasn't me. This is chat.
We need Dragic to summon the Dragon Ball.
Yeah, this is what happens when Dragic gets hurt. The one thing I'm curious to see if Spo busts out is the two big lineups. I don't think that there's a need for it, really, after this game. I didn't think that there's a need to go big. I think that they can comfortably play the Lakers small. I think that the biggest adjustment... I think the defensive game plan is fine. I think that maybe they might want to do a little more helping on LeBron. Because in the end of that fourth quarter, like, they were leaving Derek on an island. By the way, that was the other thing I didn't like. I don't like Derek in the game.
I didn't like his minutes either. That was the only player I didn't like his minutes on the floor.
I thought Solomon did
a great job for the most
part. I'm not just saying, listen, like, I know people like probably think like we're just saying shit about Solomon because he like comes on our like show and like we're boys with Solomon. I legitimately think he gives good defensive minutes.
He held his own one-on-one on LeBron for a few of those possessions in the second quarter. So Christian, I'll give him props for that.
What did you make about the lack of zone today? Very few possessions. Maybe like four or five.
Mostly because it's almost every time they went to the zone, the Lakers were ready. And they did a lot of the same things that the Celtics did. They did a lot of high pick and rolls, and LeBron was feasting a lot on a lot of those. A lot of cutting, you know, getting Anthony Davis in the middle of the zone. You know, like, there's... They definitely had a plan for when the Heat went to zone, and they capitalized on it early, and it seems like they went away from it because of it.
The chat's saying, why play small? Because of what Anthony Davis was doing. I mean, part of the reason you play small is so that you can force the Lakers to play smaller too, and that way you don't have two bigs on the floor. You're going to have Anthony Davis there regardless.
The only way you inflict your will is if you're beating a team doing it. And they were doing that with their starting lineup, but the second that they broke that up and they didn't have a bunch of playmakers on the court, like, it was tough.
It was also the ball movement too. Like, I think
I think probably one of the big adjustments that they can make is get Tyler off the ball and kind of get him coming off, so they can probably get him in some pistol stuff to get him the ball instead of having him bring the ball up or initiate at the top of the key. I think that's something they can do. So the Heat, one of my favorite things the Heat were running a lot in the Celtics series was this little pin down for Jimmy Butler where they kind of get him on the baseline and have him curl into in between the restricted area and the free throw line. I think that's stuff they can run for Tyler as well. We haven't talked about Jimmy's performance because especially in the first half, that guy was awesome. Everything you want him to do, hitting threes, getting to the paint, getting to the free throw line. And I think that's, you know, it's kind of funny that we, guys, is Jimmy Butler like one of the players we talk about the least on this podcast? Cause he's just so.
We know what he gives you.
He just, you know what I mean? Like when he does this today, you're just like, yeah, that's what Jimmy gives you. You only notice when he does it.
Well, I mean, it's amazing that he did come back in a game because it looked really bad.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the tough things about this game is that you did get a really, really good Jimmy outing, especially before he twisted his ankle. Yeah, I mean, because you're not going to get that every night, you know, especially when it comes to him shooting the ball. You know, he's 2-4 behind the arc. He hit all his free throws. He had a solid game in that respect, and it's tough to see it get overrun by the just barrage of threes that the Lakers as a team made in this one.
Yeah. Did you get those stats, by the way, Chris, of what they shot that second half?
That's
the game plan. If that's what they shoot, you obviously have water meets its level, but if that's what they shoot.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers shot 19% in the second half, which they're not going to shoot that bad,
right?
Obviously, because that's a bit of a correction from the first half where they shot 65%. But them shooting 39%, that's a pretty solid game shooting for them.
That's on the high end of what I think that the Heat would get from them. I think that they're going to get a lot of open looks, so that number is going to probably be a little higher than their average. So it might be around 37 to 39%, but if you can keep them below the 37, I think you're going to win those games.
Yeah.
Miami conversely shot 31%, and notably Tyler was 2 of 8 from three. Duncan was 0 of 3.
Yeah.
Solomon Hill was 0 for 4. Andre 1 for 2. Dragic went 0 for 1. Crowder 4 for 7, which is good despite him being a mediocre shooter. The Duncan thing going 0 for 3, I think that's only the second game this season where he doesn't have a three-pointer. I think also one of those games is in the Celtics series. That's just not something that I see happening again. And I think he's going to be able to shake free a lot. I didn't think the Lakers particularly defended those handoff plays very well. There was another one that he missed, a wide-open three in the corner. And I'm excited tomorrow, Christian, for you to kind of pull some numbers on the Heat shot diet and how open they were on some of those threes. Cause I felt like they were getting the looks they wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that the Lakers did go out of their way to make sure that Duncan wasn't shooting a lot. There were times where I saw them throw two guys out at him. And those were a lot of the situations where Duncan made some good kick out passes that led to easy offense for other players, but it was definitely part of their game plan. They did not want Duncan to go off. Duncan and Tyler, a combined 2 of 11 from behind the arc. That is not enough attempts. And then obviously that's not good efficiency. The Heat need those guys to take high volume and hit their shots if they want a chance in this one.
This morning when I woke up, so yesterday, actually I did a podcast with Heat UK. I've tweeted out, they're great. Check out Dan. He does a great job on his show. And I picked the Heat in 6. And that's the first time that I've picked the Heat in this playoff run other than the Pacers series. I picked the Celtics in 6. I picked the Bucks in 6. And my brain kept telling me that I like what the Heat can do on paper. I know AD and LeBron are great. I know AD's having a great playoff series. I just think that Miami has certain things in the margins that they can do to win. And as the game is unfolding, I'm even tweeting like, I like the shots that Miami's giving up. I don't care if Marquise Morris is hitting a top side three. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if KCP's hitting corner threes off catch and shoots, fading out of bounds. Like, I don't care. That's what I want. And if they're hitting them, whatever. And I feel uneasy about how uneasy I feel. You know what I mean, Alex? Like, you know me. I'm a fear monger. I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of Eric Bledsoe. So, you know, even if I say I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm scared of everything. I don't know what it is that I am not nervous at all.
Yeah, I mean, if Goran is out, I'm gonna be a little nervous. Like, I'm gonna lose some guts, I'm not gonna lie. But you're right. Like, I don't think that they can consistently make the shots that they're making. So I'm with you. Like, I feel fine. That's what I tweeted it. Like,
yeah, I mean,
calm down.
Also,
fine.
How many of these guys can definitely have much better? I mean, Bam also, like, and it's hard to really judge anything he did, especially considering he's hurt now and we don't know the severity of the injury, but he was 2 of 8 from the field with only 4 rebounds in 21 minutes. That is not going to cut it.
Right.
Like, he has to be way more impactful. Obviously, Tyler had a rough game shooting the ball. Like, I would expect that he's going to have better nights. You know,
you mentioned it, like, this was worst case. Tonight really was worst case scenario all around. Other than Jimmy prior to his, you know, rolling his ankle, it was worst case scenario all around.
Yeah. The thing we don't know is how much these injuries are going to weigh on the rest of the series. And that's going to determine a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I was telling people today, I was like, you know, I'm really happy as a franchise that they got here. They weren't supposed to be here. You know what I mean? Like, we said, Christian, we predicted earlier in the year that, like, you know, if they're a second round out, you know, we deem that a successful season. Even when they got to the conference finals, we're just like, you know, it's just good for the franchise to have gotten back here after so long. And now they've made the finals. This is the first real this is the first time that they've been down all playoff series. They've mm-hmm. always played from in front. So in the Indiana series, they were in front the entire time. In the Bucks series, they were in front and in control the entire time. In the Celtics series, they were in front and in control. And I think the only real pressure that they faced was that game that they lost in game 5. Because in game 6, they were pretty comfortable too. Even when they were down 6 in the fourth quarter, Bam completely took over and they never looked back. This is the first time that they've been punched in the mouth this hard. This is the first time that they are going to have to respond in a way that we have to wonder. And not only is there injury adversity, which obviously we have no control over and they have no control over, I think that this team is as well equipped as any to come back from that and to respond, not only from the coaching staff, who was as good and as prepared as anybody in the league and maybe even league history. If we're talking about Eric Spoelstra as a Hall of Fame coach, from a guy like Udonis Haslem, who has been to 5 NBA finals, who has won 3 championships, who's seen it all in this league, to Andre Iguodala, who has been in, I mean, between him and Udonis, they've been in like every fucking finals since the 2010, except for, yeah, no, every single finals they've been in since 2010. Which is just incredible for both of them. So, like, these, and Jimmy Butler is a guy that, even though he's never been to the finals, is a veteran who's seen a lot in this league. So, and guys that have Jay Crowder's been to the finals, the guys that are just made of this kind of mental fortitude that I think is really uncommon. You know, like, other than LeBron and AD on the Lakers, there's not a lot of guys there that you trust to respond. I think the Heat are filled with those guys. I think that they're going to watch that film session. They're going to be fine. I think that anybody overreacting to a game one result, it's foolish. It's a fool's errand. It's reactionary. I mean, unless it's divorced from the injury. I mean, we've seen, like I said on the broadcast, you know, the Pat Riley's team in a game one lost by like 30 something points and they came back to win the series in 6, right? Like, I think that this is a franchise and a team and a group of guys that's going to really respond to this. And I'm actually excited to see what they come out. I don't think the team's going to over adjust. I think that there's a couple little things that we talked about today that they can do, but I fucking believe in this team. I don't know.
No, I
don't know.
I agree with everything you're saying, but at the same time, I really thought, you know, game one could be a deciding game in this series. Like, I know it's cliche, but like, had the Heat come out tonight and whether they won or not, like, had they just taken this team to the limit and pushed LeBron and AD, right? And given them just shit all game. Like, I thought that would be important to determine how the tone was set for this series. I know it's a cliche, man. I know, but like, I truly bought into that. I bought into game one, all the storylines we've been talking about, Riley, LeBron, Spo, LeBron. Like, I thought it was important to come out, set the tone in game one. And
how much sleep do we think Spo's getting tonight?
Zero.
None. It was a complete opposite, though. Like, you're down 30. You blink, you're down 30.
You know, I was thinking up. So I know. I want to know how it's gonna. So like in the past, I think the organization and Spo has been public about how involved Riley has been in the playoff runs as a coach. Like he'll try to show up at Spo's hotel room with wine, right, and like want to break down film with him and the coaching staff and all that. And sometimes Spo has turned him away, but the bubble's kind of a different situation than this. You know what I mean? You're very insulated. I don't know if Riley's going to have that kind of access. And I feel like it's a lot more of an insulated environment, right? So like, you don't have your family to lean on in the same way, your friends, you can't really take your mind off of basketball, which I think has been a plus for them because they've been ahead in every series, right? So, you know, when you're down, I think sometimes you need to clear your head and everything. And this is kind of a really insular environment that's a really different, which Spo hasn't seen. So I'm kind of curious as to how that affects his process. I know I'm rambling, but I've never felt this way about a series before. Because usually when you have, you know, when we've been Heat fans, we have the overwhelming talent, right? And this is the first time it hasn't. I just really believe in how they're going to respond. Brian, you look so fucking depressed.
I'm just looking for more updates to see if there's anything out there before we close the show.
I mean, look, Spo is great at making adjustments. And I mean, he has to make many from scheme to personnel going into game two. So it's going to be interesting to see what he comes up with.
Are we blamed? People on Twitter were blaming us for the Solomon Hare airball. I don't feel like that's our fault.
No.
I feel like that's
Gianni, not everything. Fault. Guys, everything's our fault. It's much easier if you just start taking blame for all the dumb shit that people blame on you. Just it's easier. Trust me.
You know, it's Ethan's fault for Ethan Skolnick, Five Reasons Sports, went to the bubble to cover the game. This is bad luck. Ethan has to get out of the bubble. Hashtag get Ethan out of the bubble. Send tweets to @5ReasonSports to get Ethan out. Send tweets to Tropical Blanket Alex to make sure that Ethan gets out.
He's there for two, apparently. He was only there for the first two games. So.
Oh, thank God. So they could still come back. Remember, guys, you go down 0-2 in a series, it's still not over. Like, let's not forget this, right? I don't know.
True. That's true. 2006.
Don't let go of the fucking rope.
2006,
don't let go of the fucking rope. This is what Heat in 5 looks like.
Is Eric Spoelstra going to have a moment where he just writes season and then Jimmy Butler just goes crazy?
Are we burning the boats next game? Is it burning boats time?
Not yet.
I don't feel
it's,
like
it's only
ready.
Game two. Like,
I don't know. I always feel like you only can burn the boats during an elimination game.
Remember, Gianni,
by the end of the series is over, we are going to have a burn the boat story brought up at some point.
Solomon
probably
has
game three.
Remember, guys, if you're listening to this on our YouTube channel, you can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Search Miami Heatbeat. You can listen on your car. You can listen a lot easier than on YouTube. If you're only here for the Twitch stream, well, then, you know, you're going to find us on Apple Pods and all that. So you can listen to us on the go. Make sure to join our Discord server. That's going to be in the description of this podcast link. Also, if you're on Twitch, you can find the little buttons on the bottom. Right, so you can get into our Discord conversation. It's really fun, especially on game days there. We have lots going on. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel too, because we're going to be putting some other stuff other than pods there. So we post all the VODs for this. We also post our podcast, like our normal non-game stream podcast, onto YouTube. But we also have video now, right? So we're just exporting our video and we're just throwing that up so you can see our reactions like it's stream or whatever. So you could enjoy that. I think we may record tomorrow with a guest. I have someone that said they were going to come on, but let's see. No promises if they cancel. Have some fucking guts, guys. Let's go.
I'm ready. Game two.
Chris, do you have the guts?
I always have the guts, but this sucks.
I can't even think of a joke to end on. It's not easy
to have guts when you've got like two of your best players highly compromised and gets a team that you already needed them at 100%. I have the guts, though, because Kelly Olynyk is going to score 30 in game
Let's
two.
Go. Let's go.
Kendrick Nunn series.
You did
Kendrick go. Nunn MVP.
I don't feel good about any of these things you guys are saying. It makes me not
just end
guts.
The damn.
I know the secret recipe, guys. I know the secret recipe.
Make it good, because this is what we're gonna end the show on. Make it good.
So you know how Jimmy Butler has like all these jerseys lined.